I'm grateful for having worked for many industries and mm-hmm. having worked for finance and having practiced all these things, because all what I learned in my lifetime, I've used it in my business, and I've applied it in my business. One, specifically making payroll, paying taxes, paying myself.
Hello.
Pay my bills. All of those have been... people started raving about my smoothies and the taste and how they made them feel and how the other, there's a competitor next to us, and how theirs tasted compared to ours and the good reviews that I started getting from customers and the comebacks people would come back for it. It was just, I literally did not know that I started a movement.
Yeah. Welcome to Keys to the Culture podcast. It's your hostess with the mostest, Maisha, and this is a place where we celebrate Black creators, innovators, and those who shape the culture around us in the creator economy, one post at a time. But before we start, I want to introduce an amazing man, my friend, my bestie. He's a renaissance man, he's a businessman, he's an entrepreneur, he's an investor, he's a man who wears many hats, but he is someone that I hold near and dear to my heart, and his story is so compelling, I had to bring him on. So help me welcome Wesley Coleman Harris. Hey! Hey, Wes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Great introduction. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Before we get started, I got one question for you.
Yes, please.
When did you know that Black creativity was the culture?
I have to scale it back to when I first migrated to this country. I think as I was learning the language, I migrated from Mexico.
Yeah.
I remember my first CD I purchased was Juvenile.
Come on now.
It was Juvenile, Lou Vega. I don't know if you remember Mambo No. 5.
Yeah.
And what was the other one? I can't remember the artist, but the song was Uchiwali-wali.
Yeah.
So... I feel like from that point, I started learning a lot about Black culture. Mm. And it wasn't until, I would say pretty recently, decolonizing my mind, I realized that the essence of Black culture and how deep and rooted it is in this country and in the world, and how it influences the world, that I realized that Black is, I was going to say the blueprint, but it's a Black print.
Period. Say it is. Okay.
So, but in my work of decolonizing my mind, I've learned that Black culture is the blueprint.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so happy you said that. And listen, y'all, we know he's Latin, but we asking him because he is deeply rooted into Black culture. You are an ally. You are a supporter. You're always there for Black businesses. You have been there for me in several different ways. So you're not one of those people that just put a hat on and say, oh, this is what I am, and I'm just supporting because it's beneficial to me. No, because you truly love Black people. So it's beyond the culture. You love the people. You love everything about Blackness. And we always support you and come and help you out because, you know, it's rare to have people like you who really get it. And it's not something that is just, I'm just doing this for my own gain. This is because the people, you love the people. You love the culture.
I do. I see myself in the resilience that Black people have developed.
Yeah.
And I really think that if it wasn't for you guys being in the forefront of equity or a fight for equity, Brown people would not have been able to also be able to, or take advantage of.
Yeah.
And I feel like if once we come together, we'll be stronger.
Oh, absolutely.
And I want to play my part in that. Mm-hmm. And with my business, I've incorporated, because my business is part of me, I incorporated everything that I I feel very strong about.
Yes.
Into it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have, you know, shirts that say rooting for everybody black.
Period.
I really do mean it.
Absolutely.
I have, I support black businesses, like you said. So a lot of my vendors are black owned.
Absolutely.
My businesses are black owned. A lot of my employees are black.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm going to make them owners as well.
Absolutely.
And so I'm not just to the extent of employing, but I want people to succeed, yeah, specifically black people.
Yeah, economically. And that's beautiful. You know, I always say that, you know, the Latin people are our cousins.
We are.
And we are, period. So, and I love that. And, you know, I really want to take people back to the beginning. You know, what was your beginnings like, life growing up?
Man, it was tough. We didn't have a roof over our head a lot of the times. My mom had always been an entrepreneur and still is. She's an entrepreneur, and we started selling corn on the cob at the park.
Yeah.
We would, I would remember going, knocking door to door with my mom and selling Avon. Then we went to shoes. We started selling Mexican shoes, and then we sold Herbalife.
Wow.
And we sold comforters. We sold furniture. And all of that taught me to, first, to be a hard worker.
Yeah.
But also to be able to take a no for an answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because now that I'm doing my own business, as you know, I pass out samples.
Yeah.
And that has made my business very successful.
Amen.
But I don't take a no, I don't want a sample to the heart, or it's not, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
I'm looking for that one, yes.
Mm.
And when I was doing that with my mom, knocking on door to door, we had 99 no's, but that one yes, that one yes turned into a referral and another referral and another referral, when we no longer had to knock on anyone else's door. So, yeah, it was hard. It was, you know, I didn't know the language. We were living in Watts, Compton, and finally, we ended up in Linwood, but in the areas that we were in the 90s, we didn't know.
I
didn't know what was going on, and a lot was going on.
Yeah, the 90s were different.
It's very different, but that really molded me to be able to just have a strong character.
Yeah, and I love that, too, because I remember we talked about, like, your beginnings before, like, just one-on-one. And you always would bring up your mom, and I was fortunate to meet your mom too when she was out here, and such a sweet person. And you definitely have qualities like your mom, for sure.
Thank you.
And that entrepreneur spirit to keep fighting and to really make a living for yourself, because if you don't work as an entrepreneur, the bills ain't getting paid. So a lot of people, when they look at entrepreneurship, they look for the glitz and glam, but you don't see the days when you're sweating and you're trying to get things together. You're trying to pay your bills. You may be behind on a bill. I've been there. And just kind of seeing that grind and that hustle in you, because you are a hustler.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I was, ever since I was in middle school, I think, I started selling candy.
Same.
You know, I had my backpack.
Yeah.
And then from that backpack grew to a sports bag.
Yes.
And, you know, so I've always had that, you know, in me. And I was working for Carl's Jr. at one point when I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
People ask me, how did you do that? Fake social?
Listen. Do what you gotta do.
Right. And then when I turned 16, I started working for In-N-Out, but, you know, and, and went to college and everything, but still had to hustle because I had to pay for my own. You know, I didn't qualify for any financial aid or anything because, you know, I didn't have any documentation to prove that I was a legal citizen.
Yeah. Let's talk about that, because there's so many people who are coming into the country who are not citizens yet, and they experience so much hardship when it comes to people saying, oh, you're stealing our jobs, this and the third. And in actuality, people are just trying to make a living for themselves. And the fact that, you know, you had that transition, you know, coming from Mexico to America, and then also making a living for yourself, but also getting an education. Now, how yes. important was that to you?
I didn't know how important it was going to be. I just figured I needed to do it because I didn't know when I was going to use it.
Mm.
But now I'm going to tell you, America is very interesting because Mexico, they'll check if you have a degree.
Yeah.
I finessed it the whole entire time. Even if I was in college, I was going to school, but I finessed it and I said in my resume that I had not once did anyone check that if I had a degree or not, which is interesting. So America is so interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad I did it because I know that if I ever need to use it again, let's just say my business fails, which it ain't.
It's not.
Because, you know, it's me. That's not in my vocabulary.
Amen.
But I can mm-hmm. always fall back on it.
And, oh, absolutely.
You know, and I just, you know, I had to work and pay for it myself.
Yeah.
And that's what I needed to do.
Ooh, and education is pricey.
Elevation as well. I mean, I'm glad that, you know, I did learn a lot in college. Mm-hmm. It wasn't what I was expecting.
Yeah.
And you and I went to school together.
Oh, yeah, we did.
So it was a lot of bullshit, to be honest.
Yes, it was.
Everything that I learned, I have a degree in finance, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that I learned was because I was already working in investment finance.
Yeah.
You know, for Raymond James, for Ameriprise Financial. It was just to back all that up with a degree to be able to get
the money.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was tough.
I remember we met in college. That's how we met. We met in college in accounting.
Accounting. Mr. Knowles.
Yes! And I remember, I was like, ooh, I met you in there, and I was like, that is not my strong suit. I am not that girl. If you want to structure your business, I'm that girl in marketing, but when it comes to the finance part, honey, I need all the help I can get.
Right.
So I found you in class. I think we were in a group or something.
Yeah, we were in a group, and it's just our energies just matched.
Yeah,
and it was you, Vivian, if you remember Vivian.
Yes.
And myself, and we just, you know, I love accounting. I love everything about finance.
Yeah.
So it was easy for me, or easier.
Yeah.
Now, can I do it now? I don't think I can, but at least I know what people are talking about.
Right.
Which, like, I always, I'm grateful for having worked for many industries and having worked for finance and having practiced all these things, because all what I learned in my lifetime, I've used it in my business, and I have applied it in my business.
Yeah.
Specifically when I worked for In-N-Out Burger, operations, people skills, customer service, quality control, inventory, all of that I've applied in my business.
Mm-hmm.
Finance, again, investments for my retirement, for my employees' payroll, all that.
Yeah.
I've applied it. I learned it and I applied it in my business. So everything,
if
anyone's thinking about, you know, opening their business and they just don't know what, learn everything you can in the whatever industry that you're in,
definitely,
so that you can ultimately apply it to your business.
Yeah, because taking us through your entrepreneur journey, like speaking of business, I have seen you with several different businesses that you started before we get to Do Stuff.
Yes.
But just kind of navigating through the entrepreneur journey, like how has that been for you? If we can look at like your beginnings, just getting into business and saying, you know what, this is what I want to do. You know, I do have that background with my mom, but now that I'm stepping out on my own, like, did you know all the steps that you need to take to be successful? Like, how was that learning curve?
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
I use this phrase. Having a business and growing a business is building a plane as you fly it.
Come on.
And when I got to the point where I opened up a furniture business for my mom, She literally said, I want you. She didn't ask me, can you? She said, I need you to do this. She's like, I need you to figure out how we're going to do this furniture business.
Yeah.
So I was sitting at my job. It was a receptionist job, and I was just, you know, doing research. And I opened it up or whatever, she did very well. She retired off of it, moved to Mexico. She's like, you should continue to do that.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, that's not what I want to do.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to purchase an F-150, the one that you've seen, in 2017, December 2017. Zero down, 0% APR.
Okay, period.
It was a very...
It's a commercial.
Okay. Right. Or you got me on that one. But, you know, because I thought maybe I can fall back on for selling furniture if I needed to.
Yeah.
Because I can, you know, haul the furniture, go pick it up, whatever, in a pickup truck. And so as my life continued, you know, you're trying to buy a house, moving out of Linwood and college and finishing up school and transitioning from one job to the other. It was a lot of things, a lot of moving parts all at once.
Mm-hmm.
I was working for a manufacturing company. They would make chandeliers for big companies, big hotel chains. I was an office manager, getting paid very, very well.
Yeah.
At that time.
Mm-hmm.
But the management was not very polite to their employees. And
you've experienced
that. Yes. And the vice president of that company came for me one day. And as you know, I don't take disrespect.
No, you don't.
At all.
Mm-mm.
And so, you know, I try to be polite and make him and schedule a meeting with her, and
yeah.
I was gonna let her know like how she came was not correct, and
right,
that was
period.
Not how she was going to communicate with me. So she missed the meeting. She sent a representative to basically, you know, and I like to be very straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? It's obvious that I'm not going to win over a vice president. I'm not going to go back and forth. So I decided to quit.
Yeah.
In the interim, my friend calls me up and says, hey, I have a position at LA Fitness. Why don't you come work for me until you find the next, you know, whatever you're going to do. I said, cool, no problem. Went to LA Fitness. That specific gym didn't have a juice bar. And so I had an epiphany. I said, well, I already work in the company. Why don't I just talk to the VP of operations or whoever I need to talk to so I can utilize this one corner. Didn't even have machines.
Okay.
They had two vending machines facing away from the customer. A lot of the people who would go to the gym would come and ask me if there was a juice bar around or there was energy drinks around or whatever. So I said, you know what? This would be a great place to kind of start a juice bar.
Yeah.
I don't have to go to the customer. They're already coming here anyway.
Period.
So I try to ask, you know, what the steps were, and I got ignored completely.
Wow.
Not even like, well, you know, like, what are you trying to do? No questions asked.
So they were just gatekeeping.
Right.
Mm.
So, but I thought to myself, you know what? I still want to do this.
Yeah.
I wonder what is it going to take?
Yeah.
You know, started writing down the numbers. I got the manager and the person, my friend who hired me, you know, good friends. We sat down. We started doing like, you know, this is how much it would cost, this and that. Literally on a white sheet of paper. After I quit, mind you, I still have that F-150, right, that I bought in 2017. This was about 2018. After I left that job, I was still like online on Craigslist trying to find out like a food truck. I was like, let me just do it as a food truck, you know, doing research. And it brought me back to when I was doing research for my mom when I was doing that furniture business.
Yes.
So that experience of doing that furniture business, kind of, I used it there. Finally, I saw something on Craigslist, and I'm literally online every day.
Yeah.
Like, it was just something in me.
Mm-hmm.
And
passion.
passion. It was just, it was that, it was just that whole, that fire.
Yeah.
Found someone that was selling their trailer, food truck. They used to be like a fruit something.
Yeah.
The guy was very nice. He's like, hey, you know what? I'm selling it for $5,000. This could be a good starter for you. And I said, okay, well, let me go take a look at it. He's like, it's not going to pass inspection. You know, you need to take it to a manufacturer that's a local manufacturer. And he'll let you know what needs to be fixed so that you can pass health department. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, cool. Spoke to the manufacturer. He said, you know what? I took a look at that trailer.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. He said, I need to break it all down and build you a new one. It's going to cost you about the same thing. Ooh. He said, why don't you just get a whole new one? And I was like, I don't have that kind of money. How much are you quoting me?
Right.
He said, $43,000. This is back in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, about $43,000, $47,000. I said, I don't have that kind of money. He's like, only ask for 30% down today, and then it'll take about a year for you to get your food truck. And I said, well, what's 30%? He said, it's about $10,000. At that time, even though I didn't have that kind of money, I had a credit card that had a $10,000 limit.
Come on now.
So when you know what I mean? When he says,
come on.
When he says yes,
okay.
Nobody can say no.
They can't say no.
I said, okay, well, scare money don't make money.
Period. Swipe.
Swipe that card. The best investment I've ever made in my life.
Amen.
The best, not even in working in finance, trying to like, you know, play with the stock market and this and that. Lost so much money. Not even that gave me the return that this business has given me.
Mm-hmm.
The lifestyle, just like the networking, everything that I've been building since I started this business is because I took that risk.
Yeah. And I think people don't understand when it comes to business, it is all a risk. Because you don't know if it's going to work until it works. You don't have a business until you actually sell something. So it's just an idea until somebody buys something.
Right.
So when it comes to the research part, because I want to go back to that, because I feel like a lot of people, when they start a business, they just jump right into it and they don't take the time to actually do the research to at least get some kind of general idea of how much is this going to cost? What resources do I need? Do I need this for inventory? What kind of truck do I need? Because there's a whole process with that. So can you walk us through understanding that aspect for people who may be interested in starting a food truck?
Research, of course, is important.
Yeah.
Talk to a lot of manufacturers. A lot of them turn me down. You know, they want people that already have the money.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so loyal to the one that I ultimately bought the food truck from, because they were just so helpful. But with any business, really, you know, research is really important, especially when you're going to have people or other companies selling you products so that you can resell.
Mm-hmm.
The cost to you, the cost to the consumer, your profit margin, all that is important.
I mean,
you know, a lot in business and in school, maybe you'll learn about breaking even, what is your breaking even point. Those are all really important.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure that everything, you need to know everything.
Right
out the back.
Yeah.
But do the most that you, all the questions that you have about, and look at it as a consumer.
Yeah.
And look at it as a business owner, an entrepreneur. Yeah.
No, that's a major key.
Because if I don't see it as a consumer,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're not going to sell it as an entrepreneur.
Yes.
So you have to make sure that you have that keen eye for being a consumer.
Yeah.
Before you become.
And that comes to understanding your target market too.
Right.
Because when it comes to research, yes, look at both eye view, but also understanding the market and understanding your consumer base. Because if you don't understand them, how to properly sell to them, what they'll be interested in buying, you go into it and it's just like a blank canvas.
But that you won't know as well.
You won't.
Unless
you look at other people who did it before.
Correct.
Yeah.
But finding that target market that you want to sell to, takes a lot of trial and error. Mm-hmm. I was blessed. Let me tell you the story about how I ended up where I ended up, which is at the Culver City Stage.
Okay.
Baldwin Hills Scenic Overlook.
Wait. But let's go back first before we get into that, because we're going to get into Culver City.
Okay, yes.
Let's get into the brand of Juiced Up as Fuck.
Yes, Juiced Up as Fuck.
That's the real name, Juiced Up Enterprises and Juiced Up as Fuck. Like,
yes.
Where did that name come from? Why did you choose that name? Mm-hmm. And walk us through starting that as like a vehicle of generational wealth.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Juiced Up as Fuck came about, first of all, my business has a lot of my character, of course.
Yes, absolutely. You know,
I like making people smile, like making people laugh. Mm-hmm. I like attention. Mm-hmm. And so when being in fitness and bodybuilding, I'm not a bodybuilder by any means, but being in that world and learning a lot about nutrition and training, I realized that a lot of bodybuilders wear on gear. Gear is, you know, test, stuff like that. And they called it juice.
Mm.
So, you know, they're going to go get juice, this and that. So I was like, oh, that's a innuendo kind of thing. Juiced up, go get juiced up. Because I knew that protein was a major key in the growth of bodybuilding.
Yes.
And even though people do steroids and stuff like that, you still need to eat and have a very strict diet in order to be able to get the results that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, juiced up. And then as the AF, I remember that year, I think everyone was saying AF.
Yeah.
Kind of like that demure.
demure.
It's cutesy and
it's
demure.
It's very cutesy.
Yes. That. So it was AF for like a whole year, I think.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, that like just sounds right. Like juiced up as fuck.
Mm.
It's funny. It's catchy. You know, it's within the realm of where I been and I like being in.
Mm-hmm.
So a juice bar that will call for something that people will relate to.
Yeah.
You know, a juice bar, something that you get juice, something you get a lot of protein from. And that's why I knew that I was going to make my smoothies with a lot of protein.
Yeah.
Which you don't get in a lot of juice bars.
You don't.
And my smoothies come with 30 grams of protein on the smaller and 50 grams of protein, which is really unheard of.
Ooh, that's really good.
So the name just kind of like made sense for me.
Yeah.
Because it was within the world that it was a part of.
Yeah.
And I still am.
Yeah, and I love that because you incorporate wellness, fitness, and nutrition into your business model.
Yes.
Which I think, like you said, a lot of juice company smoothies do not include that because a lot of them are filled with sugars.
Yes.
And products that are not natural, and it causes you exercise, and then you just put it right back on.
Go back on.
You think, oh, this is healthy, but no, it's not healthy. It's full of sugar. And explain the difference between your smoothies and other competitors or other industries, like other people in the industry.
So I came to the realization that a lot of juice bars use juices and syrups to make their stuff taste any kind of way.
Yeah.
Because when they blend the fruits, it doesn't give you that sweetness that people are used to.
Yeah.
So when I started making my smoothies, I've never used sugar, and my shit was coming out real good. Like, they were very, very flavorful.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because I was using the protein.
Yeah.
Then from there, it grew from protein to using amino acids. Now, the aminos, if you know the industry, for some reason, maybe they use some alternative sugars, but there's no sugar added, no refined sugars.
Yeah.
But they have great benefits, you know, for muscle building, for recovery.
Yeah.
So I started using aminos to substitute for the sugar and accentuate not only the benefits, but the taste. Yeah. And it just brings all the fruit out. So I didn't know what others were doing.
Yeah.
But when people started raving about my smoothies and the taste and how they made them feel and how the other, there's a competitor next to us, and how theirs tasted compared to ours and the good reviews that I started getting from customers and the comebacks, people who would come back for it, it was just, I literally did not know that I started a movement. And I'm just blessed. And you know, going to other juice bars, I'm like looking at the ingredients.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so you got you orange juice, you have guava juice, you have all these juices that are concentrated. So they have no nutritional value to your body at all. It's like an empty fire.
Yeah.
You know, they give you energy at the moment because sugar spikes you up and then brings you back down. The fruit, they might be, you know, good fruit or whatever, they may use organic, but at the end of the day, what's really killing you is all that sugar that comes in that juice or in that syrup. So you've negated all the good antioxidants, whatever the good fruit that you're taking, because it's just empty fire, like I said. And because we don't use sugar, people are just so, they're just raving, they love it. And they're always looking, what am I going to bring up next? Now,
you have such a diverse, like, menu, which is great.
Yes.
Because you get different flavors. Whatever floats your boat, you can find, like, something different flavor.
Yes.
And then try something new. Like, you literally can try something new every time you visit your truck.
Yes. And people do.
Mm-hmm.
There's my regulars, they just stick to their one.
Yes.
You know, and I tell them myself, I can make any smoothie here.
Yeah.
My personal favorite is the PB&G's.
Come on now.
It's a peanut butter banana strawberries with oats. Mm-hmm. Man. And that's my go-to.
Yeah.
You know, and I tell them, you don't go ahead and try one. You're not going to be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
But if you already have one, just stick to it.
We love it. I love your menu. I love the smoothies because, like you said, like they're not like super crazy sugary. Like you don't even put sugar in it. It's like it's just the natural flavors of the fruit. And me as a fruit lover, like I'm like, oh, this is the best thing smoking because it helps me recover too.
Yes.
So after you come from a workout, you got the recovery. We got muscle building, fat burning. Like all of that is really important when it comes to health and nutrition.
Yes.
And I think people need to find that balance.
And that's an important part that you just mentioned. People don't know what they need.
Yeah.
They just think they know.
Yeah.
And at Juiced Up, we kind of guide them. You know, I mean, I'm not going to tell you, oh, you need weight loss or you need energy.
Yeah.
But we do guide you by just having a small conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what is it that you're craving? Because I like educating my customers. I have some sticky notes on our panels just to tell you if you're feeling this type of way or if you're craving chocolate because you're deficient in this. If you're craving sugar, it's because you're deficient in this.
Wow.
So I have a small conversation with them and I ask, you know, how are you feeling? What are you craving?
Yes.
What is your go-to? What is your goal?
Yes.
If their goal is for weight loss, well, let me point you in this direction. Mm-hmm. These are all our smoothies for weight loss. If you need a little more energy, more hydration, let me point you in this direction. So it's an intent.
Yeah.
Not only our flavors are amazing because that's what people come back for because at the end of the day, they want to have a good flavorful smoothie.
Absolutely.
But our underlining intent is the benefits that you get from it as well.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I'm huge on is what benefit are you looking for? So you walk away with a good, a great tasting smoothie, but you know that you're getting a benefit from it as well.
That's so amazing.
And that's so important.
That's super important. So like even just having your smoothie truck, Of course, you have the Culver City location, yes. But you also do a lot of events as well.
Absolutely.
Especially connected to the fitness world, too.
Yes.
Like, even going into those spaces, you're greatly received.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're the official juice bar for the bodybuilding competition over in Venice Beach.
Come on.
And we're there holidays. We're going to be there Labor Day. We're also... We've done a lot of corporate events, mm-hmm. One of which is the WB. They hired us as well. Quixote, I think it's pronounced, I call it Quixote because I speak Spanish,
but
it's a production company. Mm-hmm. They hired us a lot as well. Wow. I mean, I built a Rolodex of companies that have reached out to me.
Come on.
And asked for our services. We do a lot of Pride events. We're very well received. In November, we do a Black Men's Mental Health Wellness Day.
Come on.
November 2nd, so you guys stay tuned for that. Mm-hmm. We're very well received there as well. So I like to stay within that community because a lot of our communities do not receive the type of...
Say it.
...of product that I offer. We may see a Jamba Juice, which you already know is a Jamba Junk.
Yeah.
And you know, we don't get a Bristol farm, so we don't get a Whole Foods or stuff like that. You know, so I want to keep being and serving my community so that we can slowly transition to a better decision making.
Yeah.
Because when people try my stuff, I don't know if I can curse here, but when I curse a lot. When people try my shit, they go anywhere else, they're like, there's nothing like yours. And they DM me, they'll post it online, they'll come to me, they're like, look, I live in Long Beach and I drove here because I loved your smoothie. Because it made me feel this type of way.
Yeah.
You get me? And I didn't know that I was creating all that. It's just a passion that I have for serving a smoothie or making a whipping it up and serving a customer and making someone's day that has allowed me to get repeat customers.
Absolutely. So, you know, going through this process as an entrepreneur, starting the smoothie truck, and how long have you been in operation?
4.5 years.
4.5 years.
And we're on our second juice bar or food truck.
You have a second juice truck.
Yes.
That's so dope. So you're growing and expanding.
Absolutely. Now. Absolutely.
And that's what you're supposed to do.
And that's what we're supposed to do. There's people doing it in 10 years. I did it in 4 years. Come on.
Hello. Lock that tea. Yes. So let the kids know.
Yes. And will.
And will. Let the kids know. You know, when it comes to entrepreneurship, it is not always peaches and roses.
Or peaches and cream.
Peaches and cream. However, there are so many challenges that comes with having a business.
Yes.
So let's talk about some challenges because people, you know, look at your success because you're very successful. And they look at it and say, oh, he's doing great. I can do that. Absolutely, you can do that. But you have to understand the full scope of what this entrepreneur journey is. Let's talk about some challenges.
There's different ones. Let's talk about financial.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I feel financial, I think, has been the biggest one.
Yeah.
Making payroll, paying taxes, paying myself.
Hello.
Pay my bills. All of those have been tough.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have employees who are expecting you to pay them for their time.
Yeah.
And Daisy, who has been with me since I started, I mean, I'm going to tell you, I don't have the money.
Come on now.
I need to buy inventory or I have to pay you. And if I don't have inventory, if I pay you, I won't have money to run this business.
Yeah.
Can you hold on for a week and a half?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And she's just been great.
Yeah. Shout out to Daisy.
Yes. Shout out to Daisy. She's a girl.
Yeah.
So things like that, you know, when you have people in your corner and they believe in your vision, you know, saying, okay, I'll wait for my money.
Yeah.
That, you know, it works out. I mean, I've done Lyft.
Come on.
You know, I've done Uber while having my business.
Come on.
Running. You know, even if I made let's say $300 for that one day, at least I know I'm going to have money to invest in more fruit, you know, whatever I'm missing for the weekend. In rainy days, you know, we're not open in rainy days because no one goes to the Culver City Stairs and works out. Yeah. And last year, it was raining like 6 months out of the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was Ubering and I was doing some gigs here and there, whatever. So there's a lot of stepping out of that, of your comfort zone of just sticking to your entrepreneurship.
Yes. Speak on it.
And trying to feed money into your dream through other sources.
Absolutely.
So, you know, if I had to take on a personal training client, because I'm also a personal trainer, I did that as well. Mm-hmm. You know, there's different things. I never had to or wanted to cut hours for Daisy because she's always been there. So I said, you're always going to get those 40 hours plus. But I'm going to make sure I'm going to pay you, but, you know, just wait for me. Yeah. So financial has been hard. I miss payments, you know, from loans. I miss payments for my car, stuff like that. But when they got paid.
Absolutely.
Late.
Because God is good.
Because God is good. But I got paid. They got paid. When it comes to people around you, there's a lot of negative energies out there.
Yes.
That don't want to see you succeed. Mm-hmm. And they want to take what you've built from you. Yeah. And I didn't really think people were like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't have that in my mind. Like, I don't want to do wrong to anybody else. And I'm definitely not a hater.
Absolutely.
But when I noticed that people started coming for me in different ways, trying to see me down.
Yeah.
It made me realize that I cannot trust a lot of people.
Come on.
And I'm a very trusting person.
Yeah.
But now I'm scaling it back and down.
Yeah.
And I'm sealing it, and my trust is really. I'm questioning everything now.
Yeah.
So in that sense, there's challenges with people and who is on your corner and who isn't.
Mm. Two things. I'm so happy you brought that up too. I really do agree. When people go into entrepreneurship, you don't have to be stuck and say, I'm going to just try to do this and you're struggling. You can't have too much pride to go get a job, because a lot of times those jobs can fund your dreams.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've done that multiple times where I had to work regular jobs. And you already know that. I'd be like, okay, I got to go here. I'm tired as hell. But then when I leave that job, I'm working on my business. Right. There's a balance, of course, and you have to understand that that's only temporary. If you really have a vision for your life and your business and you're doing the work,
right,
it has no opportunity besides going up. Like, exactly. It's really just about that. And I'm so happy you said that, because a lot of people feel like they don't want, I'm not going to get a job. I've had multiple conversations with friends who are in the entrepreneur space, and it's up and down. I always say entrepreneurship is a roller coaster, and people have to fully understand that sometimes you're going to be up, sometimes it may go down. Just like you said, in your seasons, like if it's raining, then, hey, we're not working. It's closed.
Right.
But, you know, when you're up, you up. Yeah. I mean,
this summer, been there. Listen, I quit my job in October 2023 last year. Bought that second food truck March this year.
Listen.
And the days that the 3 years prior, when we only had one food truck, the holidays.
Yeah.
We were servicing other places because it just made sense financially.
Yeah.
I was missing out on the money that was being really harvesting at the Culver City Stairs because the other food truck was capitalizing on the fact that we were not there.
Yes.
But now that this summer that we have this second food truck, I was able to be in two places at once.
Hello.
So I was making money over there and I was making money over here.
Yeah.
So yes, it's an ego thing when people say, I'm not going to go get a job because this, I feel, you know what I mean? So to me, ego has left me a long time ago. a long time ago, and I dropped it all the way to the ground because it would be dumb for me to hold on to that ego and try to feed my business with its own when it's not running yet.
Yeah.
You know, it's starting to run, but it's not there yet.
Yeah.
And the scale that I want to take it to,
it's
going to require me to step out of my ego zone and really get into, you know, the grind.
Yeah, and growth and scaling. And you are, like, one of the kindest people that I actually know. You know what I'm saying? And I always tell you that because you have such a good heart. And everybody is not on the same page. And I always tell people, you know, when God puts a vision in your life, you have to be very mindful of the people that you connect with and who you allow into your space. And then also in business, even the competition could be messy. And, you know, you've navigated through that with such a positive attitude. Even when you are, like, at your wit's end, you still be like, but you know what? God got me. You know what? God got me. And every time. God still show up and show out in your life.
Yeah. And that's why I've learned to stay prayed up.
Come on.
To build a relationship with God and talk to God and blame him for what's going on and be like, okay, so you put this challenge, now help me get through it.
Come on.
So then I don't worry. Yeah. I don't stress out. Look, we're not making the numbers today, but we'll make them tomorrow. If we're not, help me figure it out.
Yeah.
Because we're not about to miss another payment. We're not about to, you know, not make payroll. Or do you need me to move here? Building that relationship with God and really listening.
Yeah.
And knowing that things are happening for a reason is going to relieve a lot of stress. And you're just going to keep pushing. Yeah. And yes, that has... that has been some of the challenges. You know, just not listening to what God wants from me and not building that relationship and wanting to do what I want to do.
Come on.
And he's like, no, you need to come this way.
Yes.
You know, that's why I'm putting this challenge. And that challenge of listening and having and talking to God on the daily is what really has helped me stay resilient.
Yeah. It's like you grow through what you go through.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because all things work together for our good, you know, and that's Bible. So, you know, God allows things to happen for a particular reason at a certain time in our lives because there's an opportunity for us to grow. And then even with those challenges that we have, there may be greater challenges later on. But if we can't conquer the small one and get past that,
right,
God can't elevate us to the next level because we won't be able to handle it. We'll crumble.
And that's what I learned to understand.
Yeah.
I learned to understand that I need to navigate those challenges.
Yeah.
With him holding my hand and trusting him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to continue to grow.
And
I am so happy where I'm at right now. It's like if I did nothing else.
Yeah.
I think I'll be okay. I have my house, I have my business, I have my degree. You know, I got two dogs and a cat.
Come on.
And, you know, dating here and there, but, you know, we cool.
Not dating here and there. Putting hair behind
right,
ear.
Right.
But, you know, do you feel like you found your purpose in your business?
Absolutely.
Really?
I love it. I love every single thing about it. I love fitness.
Yeah.
You know, I get up at 4 a.m. every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Often I open.
Yeah.
And often I close.
Yeah.
And I don't leave the Culver City stairs, especially in the summer, until 9:30 at night.
Woo!
By the time I get to the commissary, by the time I get at home, by the time I take a shower, go to bed, it's already 11 o'clock.
Wow.
And I wake up at 4, work out at 5:30 in the morning.
Yes.
Then on my way to...
That's a wild routine.
It's a wild routine, but I love it.
But you love it.
I do.
You do it for the plot.
You know, and like you said, I found my purpose. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do it any other way.
I know. And it's beautiful to watch that. That's so beautiful.
Thank you.
And I know you appreciate your customers, too. They do so much. Like, all the content that you have... Like through social media and the videos that you make and people making positive comments and they're sharing their experience. Yes. That's beautiful. You've built community around your brand.
I really did.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Mm. I didn't know. I hated marketing when I was in college. That is not my thing.
Yeah.
But a lot of my customers have made the marketing for me.
Yeah.
And I've had some just get the tray that I'm holding and they pass out samples for me.
Wow.
They bring their family, they bring their friends, you know, they put them on my stuff and I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And they love that I remember their name or their order. If I don't remember their name, I know their order.
Mm-hmm.
That whole line, I know everybody's order.
Yeah.
How they like it to the
T. That's that good customer service.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why I'm not hiring employees.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hiring owners. So as we scale this business mm-hmm. and it becomes a franchise, the person that's going to own Juiced Up
yeah.
is going to love it just like I love it.
Absolutely.
And they're going to provide that customer service just like I provide that customer service. Because if it was an employee, they just want to check.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody, but, you know, 99%.
Yeah.
But owners
yeah.
are going to feel it because mm-hmm. it is their investment as well.
Mm, I love that.
So I'm not hiring employees. I'm going to hire owners.
That is so dope.
That's how we're going to do it.
That is so dope. I love that perspective. Man, I need to do that when I'm hiring people. Hiring owners. No, that's a beautiful way to think about it because even just navigating through corporate America, our customer service jobs, the way that management treats people is horrible. We've all been there.
Exactly. And you know, we don't quit jobs because mm-hmm. of the job.
Yep.
We quit jobs because of the people.
Absolutely.
And one of the commitments that I have to my employees mm-hmm. once I get to that corporate franchise office, if you will, my employees are not going to be wearing ties and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's not who I am.
Absolutely.
And that's not what my business is going to be like. Mm-hmm. They can wear sweats, mm-hmm. appropriate stuff. But you can be in Nike shorts and a tank top if they want. I want what's here.
Yeah.
I want them to do what they need to do. If they want to work from home, they can work from home.
Yeah.
You know, if they want to come to the office, they can come to the office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have music. You know, I love music.
Yeah.
We have, you know, the next investment is going to be a real estate or a commercial real estate.
Yes.
So I want to buy a lot so I can house those food trucks that are going to mm-hmm. be coming for 2026. I want to have four more.
Amazing.
On top of my two. So a total of six mm-hmm. for the World Cup and a total of 10 for the Olympics 2028.
Wow.
So I already have a list of people who I've been expressed interest in owning a Juiced Up. So once I'm working on the paperwork this year. So once it gets rolling, I'm gonna start sending those emails.
Whoa.
Two of my current friends, not current friends. I don't want to call them employees because I don't see people as employees.
Yeah.
I see them as friends. Two of my friends that are working with me. I know they're going to own one.
Yeah.
And I want you to own one as well.
And will.
And so, you know, I really want to elevate those who have helped me elevate this
Absolutely.
Business.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'm in it 100%. You know, I'm always in your corner.
Thank you.
I want to see your brand and you succeed in every single way. So any way I can help. Getting a food truck, being a franchisee, I'm here for that.
Thank you.
100%. Yes. And it's a great opportunity for people who are looking to get into business who may not have heard of Juiced Up. It's an opportunity for them to get acquainted with the brand and then understand how you can scale and grow it as well as they continue to invest in it. And when it comes to business, how do you find balance? Because a lot of entrepreneurs, it's tough, you know, especially when you're really engulfed in your brand and, you know, you work from sunrise to sunset.
Yes.
Like, how do you find balance in your life? Because you do have balance. I see the content.
Do. And do.
Okay.
It's knowing when to take a break.
Yeah.
If there's no me, there's no Juiced Up.
Yeah.
And I will always come first.
Amen.
Even before Juiced Up, Because, so like I said, I wake up at 4 in the morning, I'm at the gym 5:30, 6 a.m., I'm taking care of me. That's a me time. You know, I'm going to get there when I get there, but I'm going to be there.
Okay.
I'm going to drive that food truck, and I'm going to park it. I'm going to be there at 8:30. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be there at 7:30.
Okay.
But I'm going to be there.
Yes.
So just knowing that you come first will keep you balanced.
Yeah.
When I have something to do, like being here today, I make sure that, you know, I'm scheduling my employees accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm going to go party, I make sure that it, you know, I'm working the whole week.
Yeah.
Sunday is my day to go out.
Period.
I still work, but Monday I don't work at the food truck.
Yeah.
I do administrative stuff. So I'm working from home, but I don't have to wake up early like I would. I still go to the gym a little later or whatnot, but I schedule myself so that I can have me time.
Yeah.
And the gym is a me time.
Going
to the bar on a Sunday is a me time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going to a show on a Sunday or a Saturday or a Friday, whatever day I choose for myself, I make sure that I put it on my calendar and commit to it. And if it's just leap, then that's what I'm going to do.
Period.
But that finding the balance is not hard when you put yourself first.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, because I'm still trying to find my balance.
Put yourself first.
Yeah, definitely
and
put myself first.
And definitely, and sometimes it's even from family too.
Come on.
Because, you know, my sister's in Texas and my mom is in Mexico, but when they were here, you know, I had to be like, yo, this is me time.
Yeah.
You know? So just kind of setting boundaries as well.
I love
and,
that.
And, you know, people who might date and stuff, sometimes they're like, can we just not see each other for this weekend?
Yeah, I'll be all right. Definitely.
Yeah. So just put yourself first.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what advice would you give anyone who is really want to go into the food truck industry and they want to be set up for success? Like, what advice would you give them?
Several.
Mm.
The food truck industry is very cutthroat.
Mm.
And in my experience, the competitor, the other food truck, has tried to do everything in their power to get rid of me. But stand your ground.
Mm-hmm.
Move with confidence.
Yeah.
Be kind.
Mm-hmm.
And stay true to yourself.
Mm.
The best form of revenge is success.
Yes.
So if you keep going and doing what you believe in, whether it be in a food truck or a brick and mortar or whatever, always be your authentic self.
Yeah.
Because people will see that.
Mm-hmm.
And in my experience, the other competitor is not authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And people are seeing through them.
Absolutely.
And they have gravitated towards me because I am my true self.
Yeah.
And I move accordingly.
Absolutely.
I don't hate. I don't, you know, do anything to harm anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that things that come my way are because they're meant for me.
Mm-hmm.
And those things that come my way that are wrongful and that are hatred and everything, they are repelled instantly. And it goes back to them tenfold.
Amen.
So just if you want to be in this industry, just stand your ground. Be confident and be true to yourself.
Amen. Amen. The angels are there protecting you all the time.
Yes, absolutely.
And your friends. Because we don't play.
We all don't.
And don't. And, you know, for your brand, Juiced Up, and you as an individual, where can people find you? Where can they contact you? Get more information.
You can always find us on Instagram, Juiced, just like my shirt, _up, AF, Juiced Up as fuck. But we park at the Culver City Stairs, Baldwin Hills Scenic Overlook. There's two food trucks there at the bottom of the hill on Hessler and Jefferson. look for the one that says Juiced Up Black and Gold, mm-hmm. or a second food truck that still needs to get rewrapped.
Yeah,
Juicy. But it's Juicy. It's a little smaller truck. It's red and mm-hmm. And white, but it's being pulled by a Bronco. Mm-hmm. So you can find us there. You can check our website, see our product, juicedupaf.com.
Yes.
You can order for delivery or pickup mm-hmm. Within a 10-mile radius of Culver City Stairs.
That's awesome.
And we're there Monday through Sunday, 365, unless it rains. Mm-hmm. We won't be there, but other than that, we yes. work 365 days a year.
Wow.
All year.
Nonstop.
Woo! I know.
That's a hustler.
It's a hustle.
I love it.
But I do too. And usually I take a little, you know, vacation at the end of the year, but this year I'm not because I realize that January 1st is mm-hmm. very busy as well, so I'm going to be working January 1st.
I heard that. He going to get some wellness time in too, y'all.
You already know.
Yeah, Spirit, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thanks like, it's been such me. A pleasure. Even just learning more about you as a person and how you operate in your business, how important your not your employees, but your friends are and yes. your future owners, as well as your customer base. Like, it's something that really should be studied because the industry as a whole is about to be turned upside its head and you are going to be on top. I can see Juiced Up as Fuck as being a household name, being something that's going to be franchised across the U.S.
And will.
So thank you all for joining us on Keys to the Culture podcast. If you want to follow the show at Keys to the Culture podcast on all platforms, please subscribe, follow, like, share with all your friends. And if you want to follow me at I Am My Isha on all platforms, because I do that content, honey. So tune in next time for our next episode. And thank you so much for watching. See you soon. Bye.
Now, where are my keys at?
That part.